I'd like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Publics Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have a roll call, please.
Here.
Here.
Torres.
Here.
Connell.
Here.
Valentine.
Here.
Hagan.
Here.
Okay. That brings us to the minutes of the regular meeting and executive session meeting of October 18th.
So moved.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on those?
I just had one item. On the page, just take a note. I don't know what page number it is. With the whole mass notification system, if you could just say that a few glitches with counting, not council, counting instead of council. And then there's also a one-time setup fee. You're missing setup. That's it. Thanks.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We also have the minutes, regular and executive, for November 1st.
Andy.
We did October 18th, November 1st now.
Good.
Good. Thank you. Any discussion on those? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? At this point, we're at the audience portion. I'd like to open it up to the audience for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests.
I have one thing, Mr. Mayor. I know Mr. Cushing isn't here to help. My name is Delphi Haas.
I know Mr. Cushing isn't here tonight. I was hoping to talk to him. They've gotten a letter from him, and it was addressed to all the council members. I got a copy here, if I could hand out.
Sure. Let the record reflect that Mr. Higgins is recusing himself from this discussion.
Okay.
I
don't know if you have that one. I've got another one. Hold on.
Oh, I've got that.
My concern is,
let me get a copy here.
Sure.
We're down at the bottom of the first page. It says, Mr. DeHaas has requested the borough to maintain an area around a borough manhole that is apparently within the area traveled over by Mr. DeHaas to reach his residence. Mr. DeHaas has raised safety concerns about the fact that the manhole has become exposed. We understand that there is sufficient room for Mr. DeHaas to maneuver around the manhole due to the width of the area in question. Well, my question to Mr. Cushing was going to be where he got that information from. Was he back there, or I was wondering if he was back there, but he's not here right now.
I can answer that.
Okay.
I contacted the property owner for Cattell Court, and I asked him if I could go into his property to observe the manhole in question on the railroad's property.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't able to get in touch with the railroad to allow me to get onto their property.
Okay.
So when I went on Cattell Court with that property owner's consent, I saw the manhole in question.
It's a little bit too far, Rich.
I was standing at the log, and
there's
I saw
two,
it.
Rich. There's more than one.
Yeah.
It's the one, it's not down by the log. It's further down the road. It's like halfway down the road.
You're calling it railroad property, which is not.
Yeah. And
I
had taken some pictures. I'd like you guys to take a look at them. I put my car in the middle of the road right in front of this. They got three of them here?
Yes, three of them here. Yeah.
I put my car right in the middle of the road by the manhole covered after the question.
Did I get one? No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can
And if you look at the pictures, you can clearly see there's not enough room in this, on this road to get two cars by, first off. And second off, for me to get around the manhole cover, I think it's almost impossible without scraping my car on the tree branches on the railroad side, which if you're looking at the front of the car is the left side. And my concern is, because this letter was to council here, that you're not getting all the information that you guys need to come to a decision on this problem that I'm having. So I just want you guys to be aware that the information on here I feel is wrong. If you look at the pictures, I think is wrong. So I just wanted to bring that up.
And this picture is of the manhole that you're...
Yes, well, my neighbor had fixed it. That's the one that was I brought up before. That was sticking out of the road. My neighbor fixed it.
Okay, because I'm looking at it and thinking...
Yeah, it's all
like
better now. My neighbor, he bought a QP and he put it all around it because he drives up that road too. But I just wanted to let you guys know that you're not getting all the information. I think you're not getting all the information you need to judge this. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Michael Machbauer, 8 Alvin Sloan. Speaking on my own behalf, also as a member of the REC committee, as you're all aware, we've been meeting over the last couple of months trying to get together the fee schedule, and there's a feeling amongst the committee and the members of the committee that we've kind of recognized the important connection that's made between our activity registrations and the appropriate provision of recreation facilities and fields. The committee members have identified parks, recreations, and sports field management and the rehabilitation of those fields as a very high priority, beyond the scope of what our current fees and budget allows us to do within the REC department. Hundreds of individuals take part in the activities and sports programs in the town. Those participants in those will be the direct beneficiaries of a program that results in the development, renewal, and rehabilitation of our parks and grounds. Indirectly, the municipality, local businesses, and community members on the whole benefit from a well-maintained, attractive, and active park system. Crafting an inclusive maintenance program requires a collaborative effort. We can't do it all by ourselves with just recreation and just recreation funding. Right? The time to get this done is now, sooner than later, before the parks deteriorate, before the grounds get worse. The time to act is now. I'll hand this out when I'm done. I just have some highlights as to what a good park, a good recreation program brings to a community. As summed up in the National Recreation and Park Association, there's many benefits associated with well-maintained parks and rec programs. Some, but not all, include an increase in the amount of out-of-town visitors, which will bring out-of-town dollars into town, advertising for the businesses in the community, spending of out-of-town money on local properties, local businesses. Taxpayers also reap the benefits of better fields, better parks, having events in the borough, right? Property values increase. There's the potential for short-term, maybe sometimes long-term job creation if activities we hold can drum up enough interest in the community. And additionally, shops and local restaurants benefit from these kinds of programs. other areas that the National Recreation and Parks Association had pointed out is there's an increased sense of pride in the community when you have great parks and fields where visiting teams come and feel that, what an envious place, I would love to live here. These parks are so well maintained. This is an area that I personally, along with some other members of the committee, feel have been lagging in the borough. Fields have been neglected. Another major benefit, and it mostly comes for the youth of the community, activities and being involved in sports and being involved in youth programs contribute to reducing juvenile delinquency, contribute to increasing positive and at the same time reducing negative behaviors, exposing youth to less violent, improving children's educational performance, thus impacting the quality of future workforce and the national economy, helping decrease health care costs related to childhood obesity, increasing economic contributions of young people to society when they in turn become adults. Further, it increases civic responsibility and participation in the community. It also helps to reduce parental stresses and thus impact health care costs and lost job productivity. As a resident and a citizen volunteer, I strongly support the ideas presented by the National Recreation and Park Association, and I respectfully request that this position be endorsed and the themes are included in your deliberations concerning the rehabilitation and maintenance of the borough-owned properties, parks, and recreation programs, and the associated fee schedules that go along with it. If you want copies of
Thank you.
Thank you.
So can I ask a question?
Sure.
So the bottom line is that...
The bottom line is that the borough as an entity outside of recreation, I feel, needs to take a stance and determine in next year's budget if funds are going to be allocated, if employees are going to be allocated.
For building and grounds for all the parks.
For building and grounds of borough-owned property, which includes the parks. I feel that they've been neglected. We have the baseball field needs a lot of work to be a playable surface that could bring in
and to get them up
baseball,
to par, that can't be done through user fees?
Not at the dollar amounts that would need to go into it. We'd have to raise the fees beyond what would be economically prudent at this time. Also, just the general condition of the fields. As a rec committee member, the question I get asked most by parents is, why do the fields look so bad? Why is the grass so high? Why are there so many weeds? These are things that need to be ongoing. You can't just place a park, mow it once, mow it the next time we get a chance and say that's okay. They need maintenance. Soil needs to be aerated. It needs to be seeded. It needs to be maintained, and it's not being maintained to a playable level at all times. So I'm just asking that it be considered in council discussions on how we can make borough parks, borough property more attractive for everyone, and I don't think it can be done with just registration fees. It's just not, there's a lot of work that needs to be done to make and maintain, and that's probably the biggest key, is maintaining sports fields. There's a lot less money that has to come out if there's a constant level of maintenance instead of put it in place, let it degrade, now it's a big expense to build it back up.
You referenced the Borough Park pool as well, the property there?
More the sports fields and their playability, and the Vera Field and the baseball field. Steinhardt is probably the best maintained, but then again, Washington Youth Baseball puts in most of the maintenance on that outside of recreation.
I disagree with you having played baseball on the Borough Park field. It is in disrepair. It needs a lot of work.
It's unlevel in a lot of areas, and it's going to take unfortunately, a lot of money to rectify that. And until those things get done, we're looking at not being able to effectively play adult sports at that field. It's just not safe. We can't bring in tournaments. We can't bring in, weekend things because organizations come and they look at it and they deem it unsafe, and we lose out. Everyone loses out.
So in your opinion, the first field you would suggest probably rehabilitating would probably be the Borough Park field up off of Broad Street.
Yeah, I would recommend that be rehabilitated first.
Mean in general the ongoing maintenance?
That needs
the
major, but like...
The building he was concerned about.
You
can't pay for mowing that on 57.
And that's part of the discussion we had with the fee schedule was the... maintenance of the fields. It should be maintained because they're borough-owned properties. These are there for everyone to enjoy, not just the youth playing sports on weekends. So there needs to kind of be, kind of a comprehensive plan that council, along with rec, need to kind of come together and decide what's the state of the parks and where are we going with the parks. Are we going to put the money into them to get them playable, to maintain a playable? And I think that's kind of the key of just maintaining playable surfaces, getting Vara back to where it used to be, and there's a chance it needs some aeration. It needs little things before it gets to the point of just a muddy pit that's uneven because there's no grass holding the soil together. Any other?
Thank you.
Thank you.
She was going to ask you a question.
Yes.
But as resident of the town, also being on the committee, I spoke for me, not for the committee.
Okay. I just wanted to ask a rec member.
Well, maybe you could ask it out in the hall, Mr. Nackbauer. You seem to have a little reluctance. Okay.
I just have a question.
Okay.
About the
field. Mr. Van Dorsen, you have something?
Hello, everyone.
Marianne.
I just wanted to apologize for not being here at the last meeting. I know a memo, I sent a memo to all of you because I know it's time for transfer resolutions. And, again, I apologize. I had to work last Tuesday. So I was happy to know that you'd be here on Monday night. I know that Scott and John sit on the planning board. I'm sure that they spoke on behalf of the board, but I just thought it respectful that I come. So the borough planning board, as you know, worked on three major projects last year. And, of course, our job is to look out in the best interest for the borough in terms of planning, protecting the borough against development that may become an issue for residents or our downtown. And there were the projects that we worked on. First of all was the riparian buffer steep slope ordinance, which was kind of a spin-off of the wastewater management plan that we were, it was brought to our attention by our borough engineer, and I'm sure you all know about that. So we did some work on that. We also began to pursue the solar panel ordinance. I'm sure you've read in the paper, Mansfield's having a heck of a time with people putting up solar panels and these solar projects. One of the things we were concerned about is we have nothing to protect our residents right now. So, John Schmo could come up and put, 50 panels on his front lawn or side lawn or the roof or whatever. Anything that's a detriment to the community is of concern to us, and not that we don't say, of course, we support anything green, don't get me wrong, we want to see people do solar power and all that, but we want it so that it's not a hindrance, it's not going to be something aesthetically displeasing to your neighbor. Some of our undeveloped properties, for goodness sakes, the Baker track. We don't want someone putting up a gazillion, disrupting our environmentally sensitive areas. So we did some work. Actually, we did a lot of work on that. And then we had the code book. I know that John and Councilman Glebo were working on the code book review, and it came to the planning board for us to take a look at, find out what it is that, you know, can be revamped. So that was a little bit of a process. And we're kind of lay folks, so we don't know exactly, you know, how to start in some of those areas, so we relied on the professionals to give us some ideas about, you know, what can be consolidated, what really needs to get out of there, where are we vulnerable. I'm sure that that's where the intention was, right, to make sure that that book is, you know, comprehensive and so on and so forth. So we put some time into that. So the projects became a little bit more involved than we thought, and particularly with some of the solar ordinances, we really did some research. We wanted to find out, you know, what's causing problems for people in other communities, how is the environment being impacted while we're trying to be green, but we don't want to, you know, impact so on and so forth. So, you know, that's where we're at, and I just want to make sure that there were no questions in regards to, you know, why we were looking for the transfer resolutions to cover some of those over expenditures. None of the projects were things that we were just trying, you know, to find time to do. When we got to the point in the year where we didn't have any applications, we just didn't have any meetings. We're trying very hard to keep with the borough's intention of keeping costs down. I think probably our mistake was not appropriating enough money in the budget for this year, not anticipating, you know, what the costs would be. So we really have halted all work right now because, you know, we don't have any more money, so we can't do any work if we don't have any money. And we do hope to finish these projects in the year 2012 so that we're able to protect our community in the way in which we're supposed to. Okay.
So we need a resolution to approve these transfer of funds to pay the bills.
Resolution or a motion, I believe.
Motion?
The transfer resolution is scheduled for the first meeting in December. If council wants, or desires, I should say, we can include this amount on that transfer resolution.
I'll make that motion and include. What's the amount?
Off the top of my head, I don't recall.
$4,500?
Was it $5,400?
It was $53,000, I believe.
$53,000?
Yeah, I believe I misspoke at the last meeting.
Okay.
I was thinking of something
else. Just want to make sure you had the amount. Not to exceed.
It was $53,000 and change.
It could be, yeah.
It's $53,000.
The manager would know better because he got the invoice.
To transfer those funds so the planning board can pay the outstanding invoices.
I'll second that motion.
Won't that be on the transfer anyway? Won't that be on the resolution anyway to transfer?
No, it wasn't going to be on the transfer resolution. Council didn't take any action at the last meeting. It was discussed, but no action was taken. So
how does that work out? Normally, we get the transfers at the end of the year.
Correct. On the first meeting in December, council is going to be given a transfer resolution.
Is it going to be just for the planning board?
No, there's a couple little things on there.
That's what I'm asking. Does it have to be?
I think you just wanted your guidance to include it.
Yeah, that $5,300 is for planning board purposes, right. Not all under the same.
Correct. The planning board and board of adjustment, being a quasi-autonomous body, doesn't report to me. So council has to direct.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I just have a point of question. It's come to our attention, though. Councilman Torres, I'm also
nice meeting.
On the ordinance committee. And
good.
Actually, we sent a questionnaire out, and as I understand it, the questionnaire was reviewed by the planning board. But then, for some reason, professionals got involved and the engineers were asked questions and charged the planning board fees?
Yeah, because, you know, we're lay people that are on the planning board, volunteers, lay people. We don't really, there are some things that we can look at that book and we can say, well, what about this, what about that? But that we really needed their guidance to go through the, particularly that involved municipal law, you know, things that could get us into trouble or get us out of trouble in terms of the ordinances.
It was only the engineer, or you talked to the attorney?
Oh, no, all the planner, the engineer, the attorney, you know. And so then we worked together and had discussions. They brought things back to us. You know, we looked at some of the consolidation suggestions and so on and so forth. And there's still some work to be done, but like I said, we halted it because, you know, we didn't have any more money.
Okay.
So, yeah. Good question. Thank you. And if there's anything else you want us to do, let us know, okay? Be happy to.
Any other discussion on that? Could they present to the planning board, the clerk, maybe status of what, where you're at with your funds?
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you did that. I don't remember when I was on if you did it or not. But
never did, but
yeah.
Absolutely.
Would that be difficult to do?
No.
I mean, you know,
no.
Matter of tells us it's on the website.
Yeah.
So it can be found there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Any other discussion? Let's do a roll call on this and we'll call us money.
Hello?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Abstain.
Suarez?
Yes.
Cueva?
Abstain. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else from the audience? Okay. Hearing none, I would accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Ordinance 9-2011 for introduction.
Make a motion to move ordinance. What's the number?
9-2011.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? Roll call, please.
Cueva?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
No.
Boyle?
I'm sorry, I just wasn't quick enough. When you asked for discussion.
Okay.
I'd like your discussion, too. You kind of
just
impressed.
Piece of questions, all right.
Okay, well, we could do that because this is going to be...
For introduction?
Yeah, for introduction, then we can do it on approval.
Okay.
How about that?
All right. Sorry.
Okay.
Boyle?
What?
For introduction?
Oh.
And to have the clerk read by title.
Oh, read by title? Yes. Thank you. Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Jewell?
No.
Yes.
Okay, now I'd accept a motion for approval after the type clerk reads.
Yep. An ordinance establishing recreation department program fees.
Okay. Now an ordinance to approve on first reading.
Now make a motion.
Discuss. Okay.
Wait, is this a motion to discuss?
This is going to be one of these. Now we can go into discussion.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Boyle. You spoke first.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm just curious, did we receive the information from the rec by chance with the trust and stuff like that? There was some questions. Can I ask Vic?
Sure. I mean, you want to just...
Sure, come on.
That's why I'm very much here in case you have questions. Some of the questions that were asked at the last meeting, the rec director and I attended, they asked for research based on what we had, what other towns charged, those types of things. All of that information was provided the next day. I provided it, and I think Desmond provided it in relations to the pool to Rich, which I believe was forwarded to you guys.
Yeah, we did get it.
I have some questions.
Sure.
Mr. Knockbauer was up. He was talking about, you know, what we're going to need, a comprehensive maintenance program, the cost, the whole nine yards. How do we know where these fees are going to fit into what we need?
You mean these sports fees?
Yes.
Based on previous numbers, based on what our so-called competition charges, so based on that.
Have you done any budgeting yet?
Yeah,
I mean,
we're in the process of doing budgeting now.
Listen, I think this is, we do this all the time. We put the cart before the horse. I don't know if we can do that, if we can set these fees the way they are without having a complete budget plan.
Well, we're not setting the fees, we're just setting the fee range.
Right.
And I think what he was, what Mike was saying
has
nothing to do with the fee. His point was that to do proper maintenance of the of all borough buildings and grounds, like the playground, not just the baseball field, that it can't come from these fees, that there needs to be, you know, additional support, like as the council, in the budget under buildings and grounds.
Right, the field maintenance.
These fees are what should be fair fees to charge families for these programs.
Right.
And I think that's what Mike was trying to say, when we do our budget,
right,
to consider...
It's no different than maintaining the borough municipal building lot and grounds. The fees that we charge for, I'll give you an example, the fees we charge for baseball include dragging the field. Those are the things that are above and beyond what you would normally charge, because the argument we had made during one of our recent recreation meetings was that, you know, field maintenance fees, such as, you know, cutting the grass, shouldn't be part of the fee, because the grass has to be cut regardless if recreation goes away completely. So really, when we look at the fees, we really broke it down into, you know, very detailed gas, how much gas charges, how many labor hours to do this, how many, you know, repairs of equipment, stuff like that, you know, at the end of the year. So there's a lot of analysis to go into, you know, for example, what makes up that $45 maintenance fee, field maintenance, field usage fee per game. So that's where those numbers came out. And again, a lot of this, these fees based on these sports programs were based on analysis either from this year, last year, previous years, combination of all of that, or as well as the competitions fees as well. So they are sound numbers, and we all unanimously agreed on the fee schedule in rec.
I just don't think there's enough information given, because I looked and I, once I didn't get it all, we asked for a complete comparison, which means several municipalities.
You got what we gave you based on the analysis that we did. A lot of the analysis was done verbally over the phone, because I, you know, speaking to clerks, speaking to people in those towns.
Right.
I'm sure Desmond did the same thing. The information is not readily available on their website, so it's not like I can download.
Right.
The only information you did get that I was able to get directly from the websites was the township, which is our nearest competitor.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is, and I included that in my email, that a lot of the information we did receive was verbal.
Right.
And you're more than able to call them up yourself and verify those numbers. But the information tangibly is not readily available.
Mr. Chairman,
okay.
With all due respect, you did very detailed work in doing this, mm-hmm. and I understand what went into it. If you were that detailed, why do you need a minimum maximum range then?
This is just the way the ordinance is set up. It's always been that way since
okay.
we've done it the last
well,
3 years.
It's always also been set up with a discount for citizens or resident citizens as opposed to people that are out of town that use the facilities.
Right.
So why was that taken out?
Because specifically, the model that we found is that in most towns, most outside areas, they don't even allow non-residents to participate. If they do, it's usually based on some sort of a waiver situation. But in the most parts, from the people I've spoke to and the research I've done, like for example, Washington Township, they don't even have different rates for in-town, out-of-town. They just have rates. So no town that I've been able to research has disparaged rates based on in-town, out-of-town. So the fact of the matter is,
I went on a website just to, you know, and I saw at least three other towns that have out-of-town rates.
In Warren County? We're talking about our competitors here.
Okay.
Cherry Hill.
I mean, we're talking about all recreation departments, so really...
No, we're talking about our competitors. Realistically, is like a shop owner would be, if I'm selling product A, and, you know, Scott's also selling product A, my prices have to be in line with Scott, because he's serving the same customer base that I do.
Your prices would have to be in line, but
right.
I'm just saying that it's... A lot of residents have come to me and said to me, well, I understand that there's not going to be any more discount for the residents, so we're going to be paying the same thing that people from Oxford or anybody else that comes to use our facilities.
Right, and then let me tell you the reality here.
That was a really big
That's fine, but let me tell you the reality. Youth baseball, huge in the borough. Lots of kids, well over 100. Mike, do you have any idea what the total number is? 100, 150?
12 teams.
12 teams?
At a minimum of 10 players a team.
Right. How many kids do we have from out of town? Zero. Zero. Soccer, 150 kids. We may have had one kid from out of town. So at the end of the day, it's a non-issue. The reality is we want to attract other people from out of town. So by bringing the fees in line with what the borough residents charge, we get more out-of-town visitors to come play in our programs. At the end of the day, that means more money for the town and recreation. So it's a no-brainer as far as we were
Not
concerned.
Not a no-brainer, Victor, because let me just tell you one thing. It may be okay there's only one additional player that you have from out of town for a sports program, but for the pool,
well,
a lot of people...
Topic.
That's, well, it's the same topic. It's in here for the same fees.
Okay.
So
I'm ready for that.
All right.
Well, understand too, Mr. Torres, we're setting the fee range here. We are not setting the fees.
I understand that. I'm just saying what I dislike about this particular schedule. So, you know, I'm just...
All right, so let's go to the pool.
That's a concern, yeah.
The reason, the pool, in the past, we charged different rates. Fine. That hasn't been working out too well. So we basically decided to look at the Belvedere model, which is where the recreation director came from. So over the past 5 years, they've implemented a model where the fees for in-town and out-of-town have been exactly the same. Their out-of-town membership makes up 70% of their pool membership. Ours, anybody want to guess what our out-of-towners make up?
25%.
33%. So, that being said, it makes fiscal sense to at least try the new model based on 5 years of data gathered from Belvedere where they've proven a successful model. So, the idea at the end of the day is to get more people paying to use the pool. More people use the pool, more people buy food at the concession stand. So, all of that equals more revenue to defer and pay down our debt with the pool and to make it self-sustaining. So there is a lot of research that went into this, and it was well thought out. And nobody on the rec committee disagreed with it, the approach. That is why the fee schedule is structured the way it is, and that's what our recommendation is to pass it that way.
Mayor, can I ask? Sure. Councilman, what is it that you're looking to see?
Different, besides for the range of minimum and maximum, I'd also like to see some sort of different rates involved for people that come from out of town, like we had previously. So, you know, if it could be amended so such, I would vote in favor of that. Otherwise, I don't like this particular...
And again, I just think that if you go back to that model, the pool will definitely be... It will not help the pool situation this year. Will not. Because we don't draw from out-of-towners that much.
My question is, if this has to be done by March 1st, why aren't we doing it before the budget process?
No, this is the ordinance, not the fee for the resolution is March 1st.
I understand that.
This is just the structure recommending the min-max and add additional programs that we've added to this fee schedule that weren't there in previous years. Again, to give us more flexibility in the programs that we can offer the community, as well as the fact that we have other programs that are starting in December that we will need closure on as far as a fee schedule for
like
those
programs. Basketball clinic.
And karate.
Nick, would you happen to have that information, like for out-of-town that we might have charged for the pool?
The actual number of people?
No, like what your rate, our rates might have been if we had for resident versus non-resident. Would you happen to have that? So
I don't follow the question. I'm sorry.
Well, Councilman, and I kind of understand where he's coming from.
You mean if we were to go down the same path that we had gone in the past, what...
Yeah, because you had to look at that to come up with what you wanted to do here.
I could get it, but
well,
again...
Well, wouldn't it just be this year's ordinance? What was this year's ordinance?
Well, no, this is going forward. I mean, you're going to keep it the same? Is that what you looked at?
Well, again... The idea was to get more out-of-town people because, you know, we cannot, as a town, make the pool self-sustaining necessarily by just borough residents. So that we need to draw out-of-towners like Belvedere does to the pool. The only way you're going to do that, our recommendation, is to make the fees closer to what, you know, lower the out-of-town rates. Keep it simple. You know what I mean? So if we were to make a recommendation where there would be a disparity, you know, in town, out of town, we still probably would show a reduction in the out of town rate simply because we want to get those out of town family memberships here to the pool with their kids. And that's going to be the best advertising too, because generally you get your family there, you know, word of mouth spreads. They talk to their neighbors, hey, the World Pool is a great pool. You should definitely take your kids. Next thing you know, one person's family membership turns into five. But we need that incentive. We need to be comparable, and we need to be attractive.
Would it be fair to say if we reduce the out-of-town residence rates a little bit, but they are still, you know, above
different
non, I mean, that would be an incentive also as well?
Well, it would be. I mean, but again, it's subjective. I mean, again, it keeps it simple. And again, we're strictly going by the Belvedere model, which has proven successful for 5 years, and they do have 70% of their pool membership is outside residents. So, you know, my philosophy is, you know, try it this year. If we don't see a huge uptick in out-of-town, you know, memberships, you can make the argument next year, and I'll you know, I would be more than flexible. But my point is, we have not had success in the past doing it this way. We do want to make it more family-friendly, and we do want to see a lot more people at the pool, whether they're there for the day or there for the season, which is part of the reason why we added the, you know, after August 1st, you get a 50% discount on your membership, because a lot of people we found that we got feedback on, their kids were in camp, so it didn't make sense to buy a family membership. So then, you know, subsequently after August 1st, you know, they'd call me up and they'd say, hey, you know, do we get a discounted rate? And I'm like, unfortunately, we don't, but we will put that into this next year, 2012. Things like that, after hours, after 6 o'clock, the day rates get reduced, so that people like myself coming home from work at 6 o'clock, I could take my kids to the pool for 2 hours and not have to drop whatever the day rate would be, you know? So those types of things are all geared towards getting greater membership.
And some of the discussion that I heard attending one of the meetings was that as far as out-of-town rates goes, excuse me, why do you want to create a second-class citizen, essentially, by charging them more? That was some of the attitude that was also discussed in there.
You know, and it's funny, because just as a...
The reason is because everybody pays taxes here, right?
Well, as a backdrop.
To use that pool.
You know, as a backdrop, I actually, you know, to some extent was the same way, and Patrick and I discussed this a little bit on Friday. Same argument. Well, why? Why would I want to charge somebody from Oxford or somebody else the same rate as a borough resident when the borough resident pays taxes? You know, I get the argument. I really do. But at the end of the day, if I get 10 people that are coming today to the pool that are from out of town, and they're giving me $200, but next year, because I reduce the rate and make it so attractive, I get 40 people, and I come back with $600, I'm ahead of the game. At the end of the day, that's reducing my liability. That's taking that debt down.
Why is it that the REC committee is concentrating on increasing out-of-town rates, aren't you, and try to increase the people that are citizens and residents here?
You're also making the assumption that we're not doing that.
Well,
we are.
I everything that you point to and you keep referring to is to get these out-of-town people here.
Right? But the fees that
but
they
if we only have a small portion of people that are doing that, I mean, even lowering their rate, which I could see, that's fine. I have no problem bringing in other people to use our facilities, too. It's what would be, I think, advantageous is to try to lower the fees proportionally less as a discount for our taxpayers so that it would be more of an incentive and it could increase the membership that way. There's other ways, too, that you can also work on to try to increase the membership of the people that are, you know, residents,
right,
too.
So we've done that in the past year. We did a tremendous amount of work reaching out to the local community in numerous ways, mailings.
Free membership, did you try it?
No.
Okay.
We've also done
the
analysis,
though, for free. 3 days.
Well, the analysis that we did, too, again, the reason we're talking about this in the first place is because the analysis showed the huge gap and where we wanted to bring that 33% number up to a reputable maybe 50% next year. It's not going to happen overnight, but the idea is we want to reduce that loss. You know, that's the loss of operating the pool, the revenues that come in, and that goes part and parcel with gaining the profitability of the concession stand, all of which we've done this year, but we want to take the next step. So, for example, I think Belvedere pulled in over $9,000 in pure profit in their concession stand last year. So, again, that is offsetting the pool costs. So the more people you get to the pool, the more you're spending in the concession stand, the more profit you're getting. So, again, there's a lot of analysis that went into here. It's not throwing darts at a board and saying, what should we charge?
No, I mean I respect the work that you do. I mean, you've proven that to us a few times when you're counsel. I just I was on board until that we're focused on getting the 33 to 50%, you know, and that's a goal. That's great. That's just not where I'm coming from now. You know, we had this conversation that is more driven towards outside of the borough boundaries here.
Right.
Well, I mean, you've seen the work that we've done before.
Oh, you did. Nice job.
So, I mean, that is the incentive and the enticement for the local people,
yeah.
You know, as well. We had the old pool open house, which ultimately didn't happen because of the weather, but we do have a tremendous amount of things that we've done in the past and what we're going to continue to do to get the borough residents more involved. And that includes marketing and advertising and those types of things. The bottom line is, council has purview to do whatever they want. This is our recommendation as the rec committee. You have, you know, the analysis behind it. You have me to ask any questions of. You have Desmond will be here next council meeting to answer any of your questions. And again, we have a proven model in Belvedere that's worked. And that's all I'm saying. I mean, at the end of the day, you guys can do whatever you want, but we're putting a recommendation out, and that's what we agreed on, and that's what the analysis bears out. And like I said, you guys ultimately have the final say. That's why I came, is because I wanted to answer any questions anybody had, and if there wasn't any subjectivity or, you know, gray areas.
Any other discussion from council? I guess I would accept the motion to approve on first reading.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Second. Roll call, please.
Leva?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
No.
Boyle?
No.
McDonald?
Yes.
Jewell?
No.
Torres?
No.
So it doesn't even get introduced?
Nope.
So what happens next?
The existing fee ordinance and structure stays in place. And then prior to March 1st of next year, the council will have to adopt the next year's rates. You can only work off of what's in the current ordinance right now.
Well, what happens with the all of the additional clinic fees and all the other things that we've added to this?
Unfortunately, as a result of the motion and it not being introduced, any of the new programs that you have listed there on the fee schedule cannot occur.
Okay. So we'll have to cancel them then. All right. Thanks.
Sorry. That wouldn't happen anyway. It takes 60 days to approve it, right?
It was scheduled to be if this was introduced today,
yeah.
It would be adopted at the second meeting in December.
So when are they talking about these fees?
I don't know. You have to ask him.
They're talking about these programs starting in December. It would have passed it anyway.
No, it would go 20.
Leva, do you know when those programs are starting?
Whatever. I think we've always had karate.
No, but I mean like the clinics.
Well, the one was the spring. I think the only new one would have been the
some of the clinics.
The basketball clinics, but again, it's in the rates that they have are within the current. That would just be part of the youth basketball, I believe.
Right, say that one more time.
New clinic that was coming up was the basketball clinic, but when they first proposed that this past fall, it was within the youth basketball program currently.
And it was charged the fees that were already in
this year's Minimax, so that one's okay.
Correct.
I think they were more talking about, like, for next year, the water aerobics, yeah. The different breakout for soccer, or the
before March 1st, the water aerobics and everything will be okay.
No, they're not, because you didn't, or everything, like to rent a tent, to rent out the pool as a party, to have special events, they can't do any of that now because this wasn't introduced.
By March 1st.
That's incorrect.
Well, we're going to pass the same thing in March 1st?
No. By March 1st, I should say, prior March 1st, sets the fees for any of the items listed on the ordinance that's in effect. When council denied this one, the old one stays in full effect. So if there's something not on that, they can't run it now.
But none of these programs are on that ordinance.
You can make a resolution to amend that.
It has to be done via ordinance. The ordinance has to be amended, not a resolution.
You can't see how you can set fees and you don't know that that was spent.
We're not setting any fees.
We're not setting
fees. We're setting a range.
Okay, well, thank you.
We're not anymore.
Yeah, obviously.
Reports.
Take a motion to receive and file the report.
Second. Any discussion on the reports? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. Policy committee.
Oh, there.
We didn't say the person that complies, so it's not in the package.
Yeah. Let's put it in there. Is it not?
That's mine, I can see it.
Oh.
It's in there after the reports.
So it's just to put us in compliance with the state? Straightforward and simple.
So we need a motion to have this put on a future agenda?
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I have one thing just real quick on streets. I contacted the Warren County Bridge guys, and they said that that Mill Pond Road Bridge is so far down their list, they had no intentions of doing any repairs on that. And so I told them about the dam, and then they became quite interested in what was going on with the dam. And then that's where the conversation stopped. I hope I don't mess this one up.
We expect more conversation?
Yeah, I got like 4 voicemails on my cell phone. I had a chance to call them back.
Okay.
So I'll just let you know.
Codebook committee webinar dates?
The webinar to learn the new e-code will be on December 1st. That's a Thursday at 6:30. It's not a week of a council meeting. So that's the best, you know, we could get.
What was the date again?
December 1st at 6:30.
I'll be late.
I guess if I just need to know for Christine's sake, if, you know, who will be there, and if so, we're going to have to, you know, announce the public meeting.
Is that a Monday?
It's a Thursday. I will be there.
I will be there.
I have a doctor's appointment.
John, will you be there?
Will you be there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to check.
How about if everyone could get back to Christine, and then she'll know if it has to be a public meeting or not. Otherwise, that's when it's going to be.
Okay. What do you need to know by, Christine? Can you cut off date?
Next
Monday?
When we get back
to
Thanksgiving, everybody's
ready. Sounds good.
Anything else for committee reports? Okay, we have no old business. That brings us to new business, Resolution 186-2011, for redemption of a tax certificate.
No, no. Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Boyle?
Yes.
Noah?
Yes.
Leila?
Yes.
Suarez?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 187-2011, release of escrow.
So moved. Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? Roll call on that, please.
Boyle?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes.
Oliva?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, 188-2011 for a title search.
Can I make a statement about this?
After a motion and a second.
Okay. I'd like to move to make a motion for this resolution. Any second?
Hearing no seconds, the motion dies. Vouchers.
Make a motion to pay the vouchers.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion on the vouchers? Hearing none, roll call please.
Higgins?
On everything but the fire department.
Leila?
Yes.
Joel?
Yes, but the fire department squad.
Suarez?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Okay. What about me?
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. That's fine.
Right over. Boyle.
Yes. We got them all now?
Yes.
Okay, we're sure? Mr. Phelan, we have anything on your recap list?
Two items this evening, excuse me, per council's direction, will include on our upcoming transfer resolution the funds requested by the planning board. And on the next agenda, we'll have a resolution introducing, excuse me, a resolution for council's consideration for adoption as presented by the policy committee.
Okay, council remarks. Mr. Torres?
No remarks tonight.
Okay, Mr. Jewell?
I have no remarks.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes. Start out with, what do we have to do to introduce, do away with an ordinance? We have an ordinance, the pay-to-play ordinance.
Okay.
That limits our ability to hire firms within the county.
No, it doesn't. The pay-to-play ordinance as it stands now just limits the amount, it precludes, I should say, any firm from making political contributions.
Correct.
That doesn't limit anyone in the county.
Almost every firm in the county makes political contributions. I don't know of anybody here who's gotten a political contribution. Has anybody here ever gotten a political contribution from anybody?
If I may, the pay-to-play laws, does it stems out more than just local officials.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that, you know,
we won't be in compliance with the state's best practices checklist anymore by doing that.
Okay.
Just so you're aware.
Right. But what does that do to us?
We lose points each year, and you lose a certain number of points, you don't get your full state aid.
How many points do you have to lose before you don't get your state aid?
First year was 15 points, I believe. Second year was 10. I don't know what next year is going to be, or this year.
Points, you don't. And who regulates that?
DCA, Local Government Services.
Pardon me?
Local Government Services.
Let's see here. Just so everybody knows, the Marine Corps' birthday was 236 years old this past week. Happy birthday to the Marine Corps, and thank you to all the veterans. And at the last council meeting, we asked for trust fund balances by resolution. I haven't gotten one.
By resolution?
We made a motion.
We made a motion and voted on it.
Yeah, it was sent out.
No.
I didn't get it. I'll send it again. I did them the next morning. I'll send them again.
Is there a way to send a return or a receipt so you have a receipt?
There is, but there are ways to override it by the receiver. So it's not entirely accurate, but I'll send it again.
Receiving receipt?
Well, that's too much effort. I wouldn't even know how to do that.
It's easy to do. Just as options.
It's got to be point and click.
It is.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No, that's it.
Okay, Mrs. Gleba.
I had nothing, but I just want to say I am disappointed that, you know, I think council needs to make a better effort in supporting what the Recreation Committee is trying to do. They're adding new programs and they're trying to help the community, you know. So.
Anything else, Mrs. Gleba?
That's it.
Mr. Valentine?
Nothing.
Mr. Boyle?
Just out of curiosity, it was interesting information about the snow removal downtown. Is there any further developments on that, Rich, from the bid?
Not to me, no, sir.
No?
No. They've advised me that they're not going to be budgeting funds next year in their budget for snow removal downtown. Now, whether or not that changes between that comment and when they produce a document to you for your approval is a different story.
If that does take place, just staying ahead for next year, and it would be hard to believe that they wouldn't have them shoveled. And we have to shovel. We're going to bill them for that.
The property owner's correct.
Right.
Well, the store owners shovel their...
Ultimately, the property owner's responsible for snow removal. Right. As part
That's not what we did.
No, correct. Ultimately, the property owner's responsible for their snow removal. The bid approached the borough last year saying, hey, you know, the property owners are removing their snow. If we pay you, can you remove those large mounds that banks pile up along, you know, Route 57? Exactly.
Right.
And we'll pay you what the rate is. This is the same rate that the schools pay us. And that's what they did this year. They're saying they're not budgeting any funds for that.
Can I add a little bit to that, if I could? When this argument all started with about corner of the sidewalk, it started about 6 years ago. The bid... the mounds of the sidewalk were creating a problem for people getting into the stores. They had their sidewalk shelved in front of their stores. They pushed it to the curb. The problem was that the mounds got to be 4 feet high, if not higher. They came to the borough and asked the borough to remove the snow. The borough said that they weren't going to do it because they didn't have the funds. At that time, Dick Cushing sat there and said the borough could not force them to do something that they had done previously, which was clear the snow. Now, last year, what they did is they know that we were in a financial bind, so they contributed to it. But Dick has already, he's already made that comment that the bid cannot be charged for something that was previously provided by the town. And that was previously provided.
But by the same token, what? The town also does not still have to do it.
Well, then they don't have to do it, but when people climb over 4 foot snow drifts, snow banks to get to the stores.
Does that create a liability on us?
Because it was done in the past. With the formation of the Business Improvement District, anything that was in effect that the borough did before the inception of the Business Improvement District, he said, had to be continued on, or they couldn't charge the bid for it because it was a service that was already provided. We can go back and get the notes, the minutes. He said it here at the council meeting.
Well, if that may be, I haven't looked into what the particular requirements on the BID are, but in general, for liability for sidewalk accidents, if you're a commercial property owner as opposed to residential, you're responsible for the sidewalks in front of your place, and if somebody slips and falls, it's not the municipality's responsibility.
And that goes from the edge of the property to the curb line?
In general, I would say that. I mean, I don't know if there's something different, there's a right of way that's, you know, different here, I don't know, but in general, yeah.
It's amazing that you would say it. Excuse me, say that. In our class at the last meeting, our risk manager said that was just the opposite.
That he said that...
He's at case law pointing at the opposite.
That
they're carriers. What he said is that the insurance carriers...
Right.
In some of the basic, and I did. He sent out the list, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He sent out the list of cases, saying that some of the cases now are turning to make it
legislation
residential's problem. If I walk on your sidewalk and I get hurt in front of your house, and it's in the boroughs right away, the liability is pointing out towards the property owner, not the municipality.
For residential,
that's correct.
Well, that residential and commercial are different.
Yeah.
And
he said for commercial property, the boroughs are better.
I'd be surprised. That's
why
not
when
it's
closed
down.
Anybody else not hear that?
I remember somebody talking about legislation about making the homeowner responsible.
Yeah, that's right? That's what he gave us, the bills.
I might have missed the commercial one. I'm not saying it wasn't said. I just don't remember. So, Rich, then going forward, they're covered for this winter season 2011.
Well, they're covered to the end of this calendar year.
Calendar year. Okay, so January 1... If we get 2 foot of snow, that stuff is just going to pile up there?
The way it stands now, yeah. I mean, council made a decision not to use public money on private property. That's really what that is. That's private commercial property.
Can I ask a question?
Because we repeal that ordinance.
Without having to make a motion, can we put that on the next agenda? I make a motion we put the snow removal on the next agenda, to include the minutes from the class with the risk manager, and the minutes of, I'll bring those minutes, and I don't
know. The bid?
No.
Bid minutes?
It was the council, I'll bring them.
If I may.
What you're talking about with the Cushing's comment.
Yes, his comment.
Oh. If I may, I'd suggest you change it to your second meeting, because the attorney's not present at the next meeting.
I don't think...
If you're going to need any attorney advice, he's not at the next meeting.
Well, we have his own words in the minutes.
That's true.
And
putting it out
we
there.
Have questions after that, we can...
Fair enough.
You're right.
Yep.
You said it, right?
Sure.
A couple years ago, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there been a second?
I would second.
No.
Okay. There's a second now.
I remember.
Ms. Blanchard has a question.
Dave, do you want... just that section transcribed or the entire class?
No, just that section where he was talking about the
commercial and residential.
The commercial property owners being protected by the borough, whatever what he was talking about. The snow removal had to be done.
It was specific to snow removal?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
How about the whole section?
The bill title was sidewalk in his presentation.
I didn't get a copy of that.
I have it, that's it.
Okay.
And we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Anything else, Mr. Boyle?
No, thank you, Mayor. No, excuse me, I have one more thing, sorry, if I may.
Sure.
Okay. I'm wondering if we're going to be doing again this year what we formerly did in the past, which stopped because of budgetary concerns, I guess, was the Christmas tree lighting in front of our borough hall. Because I do understand the bid is planning to bring in their own tree for the former antique center lot to set up. But I was wondering, if we're still planning to do that or what.
In the past, Recreation has sponsored that, if I remember correctly.
Correct. Council's decision last year was to get rid of all events that didn't have an offsetting revenue associated with it.
Okay.
That was one more.
Okay, so we weren't planning on that. We were just going to go along with whatever the Business Improvement District did.
I'd like to make a motion to, maybe bring that back and have just, it's minimal cost to the borough just to light those lights.
No, it's a couple of thousand dollars.
It is. A couple thousand dollars.
A couple thousand dollars, right.
Yeah. Really?
Just to add to that.
I don't know where you guys get your information from. Right. It was $500.
Yeah, I was told it's not that.
I was told a couple thousand.
Doris said it was $1,500 on
the. Who was on the record? Is there anybody here that was on the Recreation Committee? I said that was for that.
Yes, and I have the numbers here as well. In 2004, it $756 was allocated. 2005, $872. 2006, about the same. 2007 was $900, and the last 2 years were under $500 each.
That's what it was budgeted for. That's not what the actual cost
that's
was.
Right.
Yes,
right.
That's the
actual
cost.
That's
it. Mr. Feldman, you have something to add?
There's two pieces to the Christmas party. One is the actual putting the lights on the tree and lighting it, which we used to figure out for the gentleman who did it. We kept the price the same for, I think, in like 4 or 5 years. I think it was around $500, and it was going to go up. Then the second part of that is the other things that go along with it, which is the cookies and the drinks and Santa and little stuff, which raises the cost, but it's not thousands and thousands of dollars. But okay.
Well, I'd like to make a motion, if I could, to again restart at least the lighting of our borough Christmas tree, and do it maybe in conjunction with the bids, tree lighting ceremony and anything else that they have planned.
Okay, I think perhaps the motion would be to have direct the manager to see if we have the money available for it.
Well, get a quote from the electrician, whoever would put up
yeah.
the lights. And
I believe the bid's due in there is on December 2nd, 6 o'clock. That's when tree lighting and Santa Claus arrival will be. That
okay.
Morning.
No.
That sounds right.
Yes, so I talked to Sandra.
Yeah.
Yes.
Coming in on the fire truck again?
Yeah. December 2nd will be in the footprint of the old hardware store.
Okay, so I'd like to make that motion then to
direct the manager to
exactly.
Is there a second?
The researcher?
Yeah.
Second.
Okay, is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The researcher.
Okay. The researcher.
Any opposed?
Yep.
Any abstentions?
That's
right. Okay, anything else, Mr. Torres?
That's it, thanks.
Okay, the only thing I have is that I have heard that the Washington Borough Redskins junior varsity and varsity squads have made it to the football championship. They will be playing at the middle school on Sunday. The JV will be at NIT game will be at noon. The varsity game starts at about 1:30. Congratulations to the Washington Redskins for making it this far, and good luck in the game on Sunday. That's all I have. Mrs.
Well,
Detlef?
Well, I've heard two things that I think I would like to see on the website. And one is the outage from Comcast from the storm. You have to call if you want your $3 credit, but they just aren't automatically going to do that. And the other thing is the reverse falling thing. I was at a meeting over at the chemical company, and a man was there from OEM, and I had brought up the fact about people using cell phones in lieu of man phones. So he had a concern about it because you can't get in touch with people if they don't register their phone numbers.
Right, that was part of our discussion.
But I don't know who knows that.
I'll send the manager the contact information to put on the website. Okay, mom makes motion. Okay, I'll.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Now I accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?